Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite F-word. Just us again, the originals today. No guests.
No friends.
No friends, except for our friendship. But we're doing a little fun one today, just keeping it light, keeping it chill. Sarah's on the couch right now, so we're just going with that vibe. And we have asked the Instagram peeps for some help on this one. So we asked for like a one-word prompt, and Sarah and I are going to give us our, like, the first thing that comes to mind, any hot takes, any ideas. Looking at my list, we've kept our lists a surprise. Yes. So I don't know what's on Sarah's list. She doesn't know what's on mine. Looking at mine, this is like more or less what I expected. Some nutrition, some super fucking random, some fitness, some hilarious. So yeah. Excited to get into this.
Mine's a little bit of a mix of all of those too, and then some like mindset and like more serious things.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, do you want to start or you want me to start?
Yeah, let's go with this big one. So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Weed.
Weed?
Yeah.
Nicola.
I mean, okay. That definitely makes me sound like I use it more than I do, but I don't hate it. I actually really, really love it.
I only say that because, like, I don't have a lot of friends that use it.
Really?
Yeah. My friends won't, and I don't really like it.
No, I know you don't.
Like edibles. Like, a lot of my friends will do edibles, but to, like, smoke weed, none of my friends really smoke weed.
I mean, edibles are probably my primary source, but a good, like, sunset dip and a joint with a friend,
yeah,
it's a pretty good night.
I just hate how it makes me feel.
Oh, wild. I love how it makes me feel.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's a yes, love.
Okay.
Okay.
I will go with where do I want to start here? Wellness.
Annoying.
Yeah, Nicola just scrunched her face. I was thinking of like my first thoughts on that, and I was just like, ick.
Yeah. I think it's just the word.
Yeah. Like my brain automatically goes to like all online wellness culture and like this like wellness girly aesthetic shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like girls who drink magnesium and
I was gonna say drink their greens in the morning, their little probiotics, and now I have no bloating ever.
Just like that stuff.
Yeah.
Online wellness culture is very toxic, in my opinion.
But conceptually, wellness, I'm like, yeah, wellness sounds great.
Very important.
But I definitely like a mindful how I use it. And I don't think I use the term very often.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, what does wellness even mean?
I mean, I feel like it's how we talk about health. It's like totally in the eye of the beholder type thing. Like you define it for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Boundaries.
Hey, that one got said three times on mine.
Which is so interesting because we've done like a whole podcast on this and I feel like we talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Hey, I would say important.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few on my list that I also have the same opinion of, but like very like trendy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's very like pop psychology now.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my initial thoughts on that.
Yeah. And do you think because it's become like a trendy word that it's benefited because more people are willing to like take it on and set boundaries? Or do you feel like it's become this like abstract concept that no one even really knows what it is, like wellness.
Like wellness. I think a little bit of both.
Mm.
I think it has made people more aware of when their boundaries are being pushed or where they lack boundaries. But then on the flip side, I do think that it's kind of just escalated to like, you know, people are stressed if they don't have boundaries now, or like they're like just overthinking things.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought anyways. Do you agree?
Yes. And I think people use the word like, oh, you're crossing my boundaries, like in totally inappropriate ways. Like that's not actually a boundary you can have. I'm thinking of like, what was that douchebag actor who said his girlfriend was crossing his boundaries when he told her she couldn't like go hang out with her friends? Oh, what's that fucking guy's name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not a boundary.
No, that's like a, yeah, but he's like, you're using a boundary as like a manipulation tactic.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've heard more and more of that, which is like super fucked, but.
Yeah. I feel like anything that social media gets a hold of, even if it's well-intended, ends up fucking,
mm-hmm.
ugh, yeah. Okay.
This is going to piss me off that I can't figure out his name. I'll come back to it. It'll jump out one day. Okay.
Okay. Let's go mental health.
Oh, I had that one too. Fucked.
Fucked. Perfect.
Societally fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I mean, the sun is shining again, so I think we're on the up and up, mm-hmm. as like in terms of North Americans, but I feel like the general mental health scene is pretty poor right now.
For sure. Yeah. Lots of people struggling. Lots of
mm-hmm.
like getting resources from not qualified people or sources, self-diagnosing, like,
interesting.
You know? I don't know. I just see so many people talking about it, again, on social media, and just A, they're not qualified to. B, it's kind of like these other things that we're talking about where it's like taken out of context or it's like mm-hmm. oversimplified, right? And yeah, I feel like people who are struggling aren't always getting the actual support and resources that they need.
Totally. Yeah. I think at a systematic level, like fucked, we're fucked.
Yeah. Fun.
So maybe a little bit of a downer, but that's how I feel.
Okay.
Okay. Low carb.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew.
Why?
Yeah, I was gonna say fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if that's what you're into, go for it, but would not be my jam. Would not be our first recommendation for pretty much anybody.
Do you ever think about, okay, I have one that's on this line, so I'm going to say it. You can mm-hmm. say, talk about it. Beachbody.
Like back from like the ye old times, like that feels super antiquated to say beachbody at this point. Is that still existing?
I guess so.
Oh, like the beachbody programs?
Yeah.
Oh, wild. Like
the Beachbody coaches and shit.
Oh, the pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Type yeah. situation. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So it just seems crazy to me that, like, people are still buying into these things. People still think that low carb is the solution. People still sign up with a Beachbody coach. Like, it's sad.
But, like, what what is it that makes them say, like, sign up for Beachbody versus, like, not to like pump our tires, but like work with someone like us who is doing the work we're doing?
I think so many things. Did you read That Sounds Like a Cult? Or
it's on my Audible list, but I have not.
So there's a whole chapter about MLMs in there.
Mm-hmm.
And in that chapter, they talked about the use of like inclusive language. So mm-hmm. like there's special terms. They talk about CrossFit too, but like, so there's like the special words that they use, the promise of like an outcome,
mm-hmm.
right? I think people are just like it's a quick fix solution, right? And that's what they market it as. And it's just, it's easier to get into something like that when you think that like results are going to happen quickly and that like, okay, this is the solution to everything. When like 99.999% of the time, that's not true, but that's how these market, right?
True. I mean, like if I think about like wanting something, like having a goal, am I going to be more interested in someone who's like, it's going to start great, go great, end great? Or am I going to want to like work on it in a way that's like, it's going to get uncomfortable, you're going to be pushed, you're probably going to have some setbacks, and then eventually things will improve.
Exactly.
Which one sounds better?
Obviously, number one.
But I don't think, I can't think of any like success that I've had in my life or thing I can look back and be proud of that I'm like, oh yeah, it started well, went well, ended well.
Right. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And I think when we, if we look back or if we like sit back and like look at life logically and look at all of the other things that we've accomplished, we can recognize that like, okay, none of these really came easy or were just like a walk the entire time. But for some reason, people think with their health and with their body that it should be.
Yeah.
And it's just because the media has like portrayed that for so many years, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not easy for you, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, that message is pretty big. Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, I mean, in terms, there's, can I say another one? Because this,
yeah. Yeah.
This isn't one word, but how not to hate IG. I don't know.
You tell me.
Yeah. But yeah, that is like Instagram is so challenging that way because there's people who A, either don't give a fuck about if they are causing harm or B, truly think that they are being helpful in those situations where they are, you know, promising an outcome, saying that it's easy, comparing their journey to someone else's journey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so as coaches who are trying to not do that, it is extremely frustrating at times.
I mean, like even just beyond like having our business and like having to lean on Instagram for everything, just being a human being on Instagram, what would that be like? I kind of am unable to separate it, but just like as a consumer, I'm like, there are things that I still like about it. I started following a lot of like Bookstagram accounts, which have like led to all my recent recommendations. That's been sick. I like the meme potential. I like the reels that say, which otter is your girlfriend? These are the things I'm into, which really, I think, double back to where my mental health is at.
Right.
I struggle with it, but also then I'm like, how many friends have I made via Instagram? Lots.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Being a conscious consumer of the content on there is, I think, the solution to making it something that is, you know, positive for you. But to be a conscious consumer when everything is put on there to like draw you in and to like feel something, that is fucking hard. And it takes a lot of self-awareness to be able to be like, okay, I saw X and it made me feel Y, and like that's either positive or negative, and to not let it, you know, go into a spiral or doom scroll or think you need to change your entire life because you don't have this 1,000-step morning routine that X person said you needed, or like those are like the hard things, right?
Yeah. Okay, what's one tip then for like how you can be a better conscious consumer?
I would say set limits on the time you spend on it. And I would say unfollow accounts that when they pop up, when their content pops up, you don't feel good.
Nice.
And I think
two tips.
The mental health accounts, the wellness accounts, even like some of like the fashion and like beauty accounts, I think those ones are all so easy to fall into that trap of like, I'm not doing enough, you know? And there can be great ones in all of those realms, right? I like to think that ours is probably
helpful. I was just gonna say, but like We obviously stand by like what we are saying. And yet I would still say if there's a message that we present or we're talking about something that doesn't resonate to you, doesn't feel aligned, like take what you will and move on from it, or don't buy into everything that we're saying, because a lot of the times we're talking to a specific thing, a specific person, and you don't have to buy into that also.
Sure. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, this one's just hilarious. And I feel like you'll be like, what? Kate Middleton.
Why? Is what my thought is, because people are like, obviously I know that she's like missing or whatever, but like the amount of time people fucking spend looking into other people's lives, it just is wild to me.
Okay. I disagree, because I think it's hilarious how much time people have like spent sleuthing on this and like looking, going back in like archives and being like, okay, if that picture was photoshopped, was this photoshopped? Does she actually dabble with photography? Da 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 da. And like looking, dissecting the picture and being like, I don't know, the finger's weird on this. Like, I think it's so funny.
Oh, I just am like, oh, you could be doing so many good things with that time.
Like, would they?
Well, yeah.
They could also be doing so many worse things.
That is true. That's good. Okay. Fine.
Anyways.
Yeah. I actually learned about that yesterday because I obviously was seeing so many things about Kate Middleton, but I never like into it. And then my friend was talking about it at the gym. And I was just like, oh my God.
Okay. But I listened to one of my weekly podcasts. It's like a tech podcast, and they brought up Kate Middleton because of the implications of this whole thing in regards to like what is an authentic picture, how many people are photoshopping, and how 90% of like new cameras, whether that's on your phone or just like cameras, actually use a type of AI to create composites where the picture you're looking at wasn't actually the original picture. It just took a bunch of images and then melded it to give you what it assumes is like the best picture.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, that is wild. It's like scary to think about how that shit is going to like affect things. It obviously is affecting things, but like as it passes, yikes.
Yeah. Side note, I was with my mom on the weekend, and you know how parents like to take pictures. I don't know, maybe you see your parents way more, so maybe you don't do this, but like I go see my mom and she's like, oh, let's take a picture. And I'm like, we're literally just sitting at the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's a fucking bottle of olive oil in the frame. Like it's not a good picture. And you're like sitting together, posed, smiling. And I'm like, what happened to like photography from years ago when it was just like some person like leaning, wearing some cool outfit, not even knowing that they're in the picture? Like those kinds of like, or you take a picture that someone wasn't ready for, and it just like turns out to be this like incredible photo. Nothing's like posed. I don't know. I just miss that.
People now pose to pretend that they're not paying attention.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. Like I have this beautiful photo of my granny, and she's like, oh my God, she calls it her swimming costume. She's in like this bathing suit, like on a rock. And she just looks absolutely gorgeous and effortless. And like, yeah, you'd have to reenact not paying attention, but also being, I'd be like, Brandon, did you get a good one? Let me see. No, yeah. I don't like that one. Do it again. But let me look off as if I'm, oh, are you taking a picture? That's fucked. No. Anyway, okay, side note there.
Okay, let's go perception.
Evolving.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that. I think that, yeah, this one was interesting. This was one of the guys at the gym. I would say like, I don't even know, like it's important to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
That's like not one word.
Like questioning.
Yeah. Curious. Yeah.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Perception, I think, really is like a huge piece of like how humans live. And so many things factor into what our perception is. And then our perception then impacts how we move through the world, how we judge things, how we see people, how we interact. It's like so multifaceted. But I think it's like so many things, it's hard to change. It's a first step is often, like you said, being aware of. But I think a good practice is to like question, like, okay, I'm noticing this is my perception in this scenario. Why?
Right.
Is that benefiting? Who is like that harming?
Yeah.
How could I change it? Yeah, I think that's important. Pineapple pizza.
Yum.
Agreed. Fucking hell yes. Yeah. More, please.
Like, it doesn't even have to be Hawaiian. Like, I'll put pineapple on fucking any barbecue chicken pizza.
I was just going to say that with like spicy peppers, pineapple. Oh, fuck yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Hell yes. Okay.
Okay. Cookies.
That's a hell yes. That's a chocolate chip cookie fiend.
Yeah. You're just basic.
I think if I had to pick like one dessert or like treat food to have for the rest of my life, it would be like the perfect chocolate chip cookie.
Interesting.
Like, oh my God, that's a fuck yes.
Mm-hmm. I do love cookies.
Fresh out of the oven. I also had cookies on my list. And then that made me think the cookie croissant that's going around. And I'm like, I will be making that at some point. Like,
when Matt and Hannah came last weekend, I saw that at the cafe they had those that day. And I was like, Matt, bring me one. And I was so upset.
Honestly, fuck that guy.
Yeah. I was like, come on.
Well, I'll make you one and send it to you. Expedite it.
Yeah.
Okay. This one was interesting because I haven't heard this term from someone in our space in a long time. Cheat day.
Cheat day?
Mm.
Dumb.
Yum. Amazing.
Oh, dumb.
Oh, dumb. I mean, also yum.
Also yum. Yes, it's stupid.
It's something that like with the way we work and probably the people we follow, the information like that we choose to consume, I don't hear it much, but being at the gym I'm in, I hear it more and more. And I recently heard a guy talk about this elaborate cheat day that he had set up. And it's like, he gets a once a month cheat day in his current protocol. And he literally plans it from the moment the cheat day is over. He's planning the next one.
Right. Yeah.
And it was insane. I was like, your gut is going to be so fucked after that day, but also yum.
Yeah.
Delicious. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think if we're talking about that, we would look at something like a refeed day, mm-hmm. where it is a structured increase in calories for a reason, but we're still tracking, we're still keeping that consistency with like our awareness.
But we're not saying reduce your food quality.
Yeah.
And eat exactly. Entirely different meals. It's like eat your normal meals and say, I used to always do like extra massive pancakes and be like, I just want this huge fucking pancake. Or like, I really love cereal. Sometimes I would have an extra bowl of cereal. Or, you know, you're going out for a meal and you are having like pasta instead of what you'd normally have. I don't know. Those are just some examples, but you're not throwing the rest of your day out. Like this guy was starting with brownies, ending with brownies, and in the middle was like literally every dessert food. Apparently he has a sweet tooth.
And I think it's different in bodybuilding, because in bodybuilding, your goal is literally the way you look. Whereas even when people that we work with have goals of changing how they look, one of our main priorities is still their relationship with food and sustainability. Mm-hmm.
True.
And cheat day mentality is something that keeps people in that all or nothing mindset where, okay, I had something quote unquote bad. I already fucked up. Let's fuck up the rest of the day, maybe even the rest of the week, and like start again. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas we're much more like, okay, you want a brownie? How can we work a brownie into your macros on most days of the week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm also just like curious about the word cheat in general.
No, it sounds like it's like you're doing something bad. How is that contributing to any positive relationship with food?
Unless you're just like someone who likes little mischief.
Right.
And you're like, yeah.
No.
Absolutely. I feel like mischievous is maybe one of my values.
Isn't it?
I think if you ask Brandon that, he would say, absolutely, you're a mischief. He's been calling me a gremlin a lot lately, which is fair. I've been quite feral, but I picture like gremlin and mischievous is going to like, you know, pairing pretty well.
That's fair. Okay. Fuck, where do I want to go now? Let's go aging.
Oh, that was on mine too. Terrifying.
Yeah, I had two initial thoughts. I had terrifying, scary, don't want it, won't stand for it. And then on the other side of things, I was like, again, it's one of those things that like we're taught is like the worst thing in the world. Like having wrinkles or showing signs of aging or getting older is like something that we have been taught to like fear.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid at all costs, especially in the beauty industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think about how just like specifically for women, like at a certain point, women are just like forgotten about. And I fear being forgotten, like being like dismissed and just not being someone that like society puts any energy or intention or like value on. I feel like that, as well as like, this is absolutely highlighting my ableism and I have some work to do here, but like I fear my body starting to decline.
Right.
That's a huge fear of mine. Wrinkles and whatever aside, yeah, I'll probably keep up with my Botox routine because that's who I am right now. But more than anything, I'm like, I don't want my body to not do what I want it to.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Like memory and dementia and Alzheimer's.
And also just like, I don't know, maybe I've been around too many people who are, no, I shouldn't even say it like that. I've just heard from a lot of people lately that have said like, oh, body isn't what it used to be, as they like get up in pain. And I'm like, holy fuck. Like, oh, yeah. So that's really scary.
I think we have a lot of more control over it than we let on. And it's easy to fall into this, oh, body isn't used to what it used to be, and like have that as an excuse versus recognizing that like, okay, we can't go do a CrossFit class without fucking warming up and expect to like feel good after. Like that's just not
true,
the
true, true. Yeah. And I mean, like that's
make some adjustments. It doesn't mean we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things just need to adjust. And I think it's easy to fall into the like, oh, I'm sore all the time. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And like, that's just the new normal versus trying to like do something to actually fix that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I look at like my granny who is, I think, just about 95 this year. And I wouldn't say she's like, she's kind of like struggled with her like body's abilities and things like that in the past little bit, but like mentally and I think happiness wise, she's a 10. She's always fucking happy. She's always got something on the go. She's always talking about something absolutely hilarious. And I'm like, okay, that gives me hope.
For sure.
But at least I can be like kooky and old and have really bananas interests and yeah. No one can tell me not to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all in the perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we were close, I would absolutely punch you right now. Okay. Hobbies.
Oh, that was on mine too. I bet the same people went on both of ours.
yeah, maybe.
Hobbies. I would say, what are they? What is that?
You have been like on and off journey with like finding hobbies though, have you not?
My struggle with hobbies is always that I felt like they're a waste of time because they're not this. I know this is problematic. I'm not saying this is like correct, but like, I felt like they're a waste of time because they're not moving me forward in terms of like any like outcome that I feel is worthy.
That is the most Sarah thing ever.
I know it's fucked up.
I disagree. I feel like even though I am definitely notorious for like latching on to specific things, going all in, like buying the arts and crafts, buying the products for it, and then devoting so much time and energy into it and then forgetting about it, I still think that was valuable because it was time I was spending being creative, which I do not do enough, or just doing something different.
Sure. Yeah.
Doing something different.
I've definitely like been trying to lean into that lately because I do think we just get into our routine and then we're not, our brain isn't challenged, our creativity mm-hmm. isn't challenged. We're not putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations, right? With hobbies, for me, one thing that I struggle with them is like, especially the creative endeavor ones, is I am not good at them right away, right? So
which
then
makes me think like you should lean into that I shit.
Know, yeah.
Like but, you should be doing more of that. Yeah.
But my tendency is like so fixed mindset where it's like, no, it's not fun if I'm not good at it. Like Brad and I did those like texture art mm-hmm. as like a date night. And it was not fun. I was so fucking annoyed because like I couldn't get my arches perfect. Like, you know, and like while I'm doing it, I'm like, just fucking relax. Like, just relax. This is supposed to be fun. And then I like go to try to do my sun again. And I'm like, it's fucking crooked or like, it's not.
This would be like a perfect time for you to introduce weed into your life. Just saying.
Except for that, it like makes me so crazy.
I feel like if you were like had a centered activity though, you wouldn't.
Maybe.
Because it would be, I feel like it's a very like focusing thing. So yeah, if you're having like anxiety and you can be so hyper-focused on that. But if you were like given a task, right. I feel like it would be at least easier to then harness that focus into something creative.
Okay, I will consider it.
That's my goal for you. Not the weed necessarily. You can do what you want with that. But to like do something and even if it sucks and probably even more if it sucks, like fucking do it if you're frustrated and then post your little creative project, whatever it is. We need the accountability.
I didn't serve this thing, did I?
No, but I'd love it.
I made it for my friend who is pregnant and I was like, she's like very aesthetic. And I was like, I can't give this to her. She's going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Send it to me. I'll post like, put it up in my office.
Person and like always does arts and crafts. I was like, she would appreciate this.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Well, that's our thoughts on okay, my turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Capris.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I fucking
like I will so not get into that trend. Absolutely yeah. The fuck not.
Yeah. I'm like, there's one thing if it's like a loose baggy jean that's like mid half, like on the bottom. It's like a little frayed on the bottom. I do have some of those.
Like but they're like an inch off your ankle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's not up tight against your knee. It is not a pedal pusher. It is not a, what else is the other word for them? I don't know, but that's a no. That's a no. That's a no.
Yeah.
I'm having a physical reaction.
I know I said I'm on Charlie Goss and I was
and I love them and I just cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. Disgusting. Okay, well that was a fun one.
Okay. Qualities of high value friendships.
Oh wow. Okay. I also had romance in friendships.
Ooh.
Qualities of high value friendships. I think we've talked about this, but I think that friends serve different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a high value friendship, like it could look different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So qualities, I would say, like being able to be fully yourself and like share your thoughts, share your feelings with that person. A good listener. I'd say those are like my most important ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you're saying that, I feel like safety comes to mind. Like someone who, in order for me to feel like I can be silly in one moment or be vulnerable in another, I feel like I need to feel safe with that person. And when I think about like my like closest and longest friendships, I'm like, oh yeah, I feel so safe with them because I could literally show up as any one version of myself and be fully accepted.
Yeah. Another one that I think that I have in like some of my friends that have become my friends from Brad is like, I don't necessarily have as deep of a relationship as I do with you, but I really appreciate their planners. They like go out of their way to like have nights together or like do fun things or like have, you know, like just shit. Like we did like a clothing exchange or like a theme of some sort get together. Like
They help like cultivate new experiences.
I'm not that person. So I like that.
They're like an introduction to like a new, new thing. Cool. Yeah, I really like that too. Yeah, so interesting. I love friendships. They're the best. But I think like with yours, this idea of like romance in friendships, I feel like that's something I formerly wouldn't have given a lot of like weight to. But now that I think about it, I'm like, no, those are like the greatest little moments. Like I have a girlfriend who has like dahlias that grow in the fall. And when she like will show up for one of our walks with like a bundle of dahlias for me, I'm just like literally feel swept off my feet. Like it's so sweet. Or just like, you know, a friend texting me like, hey, I'm already here. What kind of coffee can I get you? Like those little things. And like, these are two examples of like gifts in romance, I suppose. But just like, I don't know, having you over for a dinner and they've like set the table really beautifully. Those kind of little things I just find in friendship specifically to be so wholesome and love them. That like one extra ounce of thought of like, what would this person, what would make this like special?
And I think it's like natural for us to do that for a romantic partner. Maybe not as natural in a friendship, at least for me.
I feel like honestly more natural for me in friendships.
You think so?
I do more like sweet little things for friends than I do for Brandon. Absolutely. Or maybe I'm categorizing them different.
It also depends on like the dynamic of your romantic relationship and like your love languages there, right? Because maybe like when it comes to needs, our romantic partner can't meet all of our needs. So potentially that romance piece might not be as existent in your actual partner, but you're getting lots of other needs met. And then that comes into play more in your friendships or vice versa.
Fuck yeah. Normalize romance and friendships.
Yeah.
Love that. Obsessed with that.
Yeah. That was cute.
Okay. I'm just going to spitfire. Oh, wait. I'm missing one of them. Oh, no. Here it is. I'm going to spitfire. One of my friends sent me three at once and said, this is just what was on my mind right now. And it goes as follows. Pizza, mortgages, sex bots.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of different things on your
phone. Quite the life we are living right now.
Yeah. Pizza, fucking great. Love it.
Mortgages.
Fucking terrible. Hate it.
Yeah. Sex bots.
Is that like you text to have phone sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. It's like an AI. Like.
Sad?
I feel like it's fulfilling a need for someone.
That is fair. That is fair. Interesting. Maybe I should try it out because my therapist said I need to start reading sexy stories.
Which you should.
Yeah.
This is my hot take on porn. And I don't know, I would like to do or read some research around this, but from the like women in my life that I've talked to about this, we are not like the visual creatures. Like I am honestly turned off by watching porn. Do not love it. But hearing about it or reading about it, that's a hell yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like here at like Dipsy, that app I recommended to you, you get to like choose the kind of storyline and the type of characters. And then you just get to like sit back and listen and like let your imagination go. That's like a 10. So I can imagine like a sex bot who like got to like, just like a ChatGPT gets to know you a little bit. You give it some corrections here and there, and all of a sudden it's painting this like really hot story for you. So I can see it.
I get it. Yeah, I didn't even know those were a thing. Yeah.
What, do you just watch Pornhub?
No.
Literally, once we talk about hobbies and you being like, there's no tangible outcome, I cannot see you being like, I'm going to spend my time watching porn.
I guess that is a hobby.
I mean, for some people. And also there is an outcome.
There is an outcome, yeah. Yeah.
That's sometimes. Fair. So, okay. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was a cute little trio.
Let's go back to mortgages.
Oh, God. Okay.
Me. You have nothing to say about them?
I'm so in debt that I'll never even like come close to smelling a mortgage.
It's actually fucked how expensive it is for people. And like, this is in Calgary, not even in Victoria, but for someone to buy a house. Like, it's actually fucked. We are lucky because we had help from our parents mm-hmm. to get our first house. And now we're like, now that we have it, we should be good moving forward. But like, I'm just like, how are people doing this? And interest rates are absolutely fucked. Like, we've had our house for 3 years and our interest rate is 1.99%. So it is the lowest of lows. And we have paid off, out of all of the payments that we've made, less than 40% have gone to the principal. Isn't that fucked?
Like, and it's, we bring it back to a place of mental health.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fucked.
Okay, moving on right away. Underrated, overrated mindsets.
Underrated, overrated mindsets?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what that means.
Like, is there something like mindset related that you think is like really helpful, but not well known or not well utilized, or like something people talk about that's like way overblown?
I'm having trouble thinking of like specific mindsets. I don't know, positivity, like toxic positivity, overrated. What do you think?
Yeah, now that we're thinking about it, this is a very tricky one. Maybe we have to circle back to this one.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. Pilates.
I got that one too. Would like to try.
Yeah. I also think trendy.
For sure.
Yeah. Super trendy right now. I don't have any issues with it. I think it would be interesting to try. I've like had Legree on my list of things to dabble mm-hmm. in 2 years now and still haven't tried it. But my problem with it is when people talk about how they get long toned, sleek muscles doing these girls that are like obviously have a decent amount of muscle mass that say they got it doing Pilates, and I just am
like, I love the idea of like a long sleek muscle.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I feel like people don't realize that like a longer muscle belly like actually doesn't look as like it's muscular.
Yeah.
But yeah, get me on this long sleek muscles. Yeah. God, I would love to have one of those. I would feel so what's the word I'm looking for? Don't know. Okay, wait, I thought of a mindset that I think is overrated. This idea of like an abundance mindset. I fucking hate that.
Okay. Yeah. That is
it. However, I get that some people it's like helpful, but I'm like
manifesting.
Ew.
Yeah.
I kind of like buy into manifesting in like the cheesiest way possible, where when I'm like feeling my most delusional, I'm like, I'm just gonna manifest it.
Right. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, momentarily. Does it help and like do anything? Absolutely not.
I do think
I don't think for me.
Yeah. I think abundance mindset can be helpful if we're not like being unrealistic with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I do think that it is helpful in our life to think abundantly and to have like that overall view of like, okay, good things happen to me, like there is like X to go around or whatever. I think of like abundance mindset, like in our business,
I right. like how you're phrasing it there. If that's how it was like sold to me, I'd be like, okay, for sure. I can take that on.
But yeah, I think where it's super problematic is in the money discussions.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, how fucking privileged are you?
Uh-huh.
And then same thing with manifesting. Same thing with manifesting of like, okay, I do think there is some value in like, so like I have my, I do like my little vision board on my phone background every year. Mm-hmm. And like when I'm looking, so like last year I had a walking pad on it and a standing desk. And when I'm looking at that every day, eventually I'm going to be like, I'm going to fucking buy a walking pad. It's not because I manifested and magically a walking pad came up, but it's because I had been looking at it, thinking about it, thinking that I wanted one, and then made the decision to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that that's how like manifesting works, is like you remind yourself that you want something and then you do the actions to do it. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to lay on the couch and think about money and now all of a sudden all this money's going to come. That's not how she works.
That's what I do when I'm feeling delusional.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And now that we're talking about this and my ideas are flowing, I do think another thing that has been just like overly used and shoved down everybody's throats is the idea of fixed versus growth mindset. However, I do think that one stands the test of time.
Yeah.
Like, I think having a growth mindset is extremely helpful because it requires actually taking action. And how it allows you to bounce back and recover from obstacles. It feels really, really realistic because it's not saying you won't ever face challenges. It's literally saying you will and you will get through it.
Exactly.
So I personally like that, but I don't think people take it seriously because it's become so like pop psychology.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate when like actually good theories or, you know, those types of things get into the media and then they're either blown out of proportion or taken out of context, or people now.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I can just picture when you're like blamed for having a fixed mindset too. Okay. I think just like life coaching in general does a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
When we're talking about all of these pieces, can I say another one? This one came up right after, but alignment.
Alignment. My like initial reaction was delusional. I don't know. I feel like that's one where like, okay, it is important to be in alignment with, you know, the things we want, to be acting in alignment with the person we want to be, the things we want. But it's another one where I just feel like we've put so much pressure for like every fucking thing to be aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I can't do this thing because I'm not in alignment. Or whatever, you
right?
Know?
I think, like, yeah,
yeah.
I said it in this order because of the conversation around like abundance and pop psychology and like life coaching and things like that. Because I do think that's a word utilized a lot. But I think it's because like when I envision my idea of alignment, I feel like it's different than what it's used for in other ways. Like I hear alignment from some people, and it feels like this very narrow, straight line. Everything is literally aligned. But for me, I think of it more as like a wide range where you're kind of like meandering through it with some like quote unquote boundaries or with some values guiding that. So you're literally not everywhere.
Yeah.
You are following some kind of path, but it's not so narrow. It's not so specific that it can't have nuance or obstacles or straying from the path, so to speak.
I like that analogy because I do think that we get very stuck in like that, like with blinders on,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one thing is aligned, so like this is all I can do. Or thinking that like, okay, X decision was aligned with what I wanted at X point in my life, but like that can change in the future, you mm-hmm. know? What's mm-hmm. in alignment for you is going to change and it's going to ebb and flow. And there's often going to be like multiple actions or multiple paths to take that are still in alignment with like the mm-hmm. big vision.
Sure.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
True. Okay. Do you have any like quick ones as we kind of wrap up?
No more quick ones, just like a deep one.
Okay. Go for one deep one and I'll finish with some quickies at the end.
Oh.
so complex.
Yeah. My initial thoughts were complex and misunderstood.
Misunderstood in what way?
Again, I think just the way it's been, like, pop psychology has just exploded it. And A, not recognizing the significance of it. B, using the word traumatic, trauma for situations that aren't necessarily those. And yeah, I would say those would be like the main things.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I think in that same vein, how like normalized it's become to use the term has helped a lot of people identify and come to terms with trauma that they might have otherwise not given the emphasis or energy that maybe it does require for some level of healing. However, as terminology becomes like more widespread and more well utilized, I then think that through that normalization process, it no longer means anything. And it becomes, you get sick of hearing it. You think, like, the term trauma dumping now is used for when people just like share their emotions, like, don't trauma dump on me. And it's like, okay, well, no, you asked how that person was. They're just telling you the truth. Like, there's so many nuances that are then missed.
Right.
When people don't take it seriously then either, because it's just, we're so used to hearing it that then it doesn't hold that like gravity that trauma actually really does. So I think there's pros and cons to how we use it in like our society and social media. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1000% agree with that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Quick ones.
Okay. Last ones. Taylor
Swift.
I mean, like, what other Taylor could that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love her.
Yeah. Love what she did for the football industry. Love what she did for sports.
So
I love to say that to Brandon because he just is so pissed off. I'm like, yeah. God, that girl has just saved the American economy, saved football. Like, what can she do?
Well, there was some stats on how many more viewers watched the Super Bowl this year.
Like I said, saved football.
Insane. Yeah. Saved everyone football. It's a little bit.
It's what I say because I know how frustrated football fans and specifically Brandon and men get. So she saved football single-handedly. Okay. Breath work.
Again, it's one of those things that's like probably valuable. I've never tried it, but also I just like think of the people who are selling it on social media and I don't like what they do.
Okay. That's usually our take, but I will say underutilized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you learned about it in school?
Not too much. I think we'll talk more about it in our next. We have brief therapies and trauma, actually, this next semester. And in brief, I think we'll talk more about like mindfulness and like actual strategies, more like solution focused things. So that'll probably be a piece of it, but we don't do like a whole module on it. I think of it more in terms of like stress management and how easy and accessible of a tool it is, but we never use it. Okay, where are my last ones? Cauliflower rice.
Why? Why? Also, cauliflower makes me shit myself.
Okay, but also, noted.
Eat rice.
Okay. Fireflies.
I hate the noise they make.
Do they make a noise?
Well, like I hate the sound of wings. And so because their wings are so big, like, it just like grosses me out. Like if a wasp is by me or like a fly flies by my ear, like the sound of like the insect wings, oh, it just grosses me out.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I really have ever seen it.
Okay. You know, I think I was thinking of dragonflies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. After I said that, I was like, wait, that's not a firefly.
Okay, dragonflies. That's a fuck no.
I don't know. Are they a vibe?
Yeah, I don't. Well, they are. They're like very like cutesy and like, I feel like romantic, but I don't recall ever seeing one.
So either.
Do they even exist? I thought they were only like in like Disney movies.
I don't know.
Okay. Flowers.
Love. Love. I need to go get some tulips.
Yeah, tulip season.
Yeah. I haven't bought fresh flowers for a while.
And this last one will come as absolutely no surprise to anyone. Diet Coke.
Fuck yes.
It's fuck yes.
Yeah.
Although, okay, we all know my take on the spiced
Yes.
raspberry. Fucking disgusting. But I recently got a pack of caffeine-free Diet Coke because I have decided I want it later in the day. And there's just something that does not hit the same.
Like
It's
not
not
as
as fizzy.
much
It's not
on
as,
the tongue. Yeah.
yeah, the like zzz is
Yeah.
not the same. It's like almost sweeter. I'm like, ew, is this Pepsi? Don't try and get me Pepsi. I will know the difference.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Truly.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, did we have many more on your list that we skipped?
No, that was it. We
Hey,
got through.
sweet, me too. I think we might have missed a few, but that's okay.
All good.
Nice. Well, thanks for playing along, everybody. And do we want to wrap it up with a fuck yes, fuck no? I
I feel
feel like
like
we've
there
said
was
so many.
yeses and nos in there.
Okay, give me a fuck maybe.
A fuck maybe. Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. I don't have one. I have a fuck yes. I'm gonna have a nap after this.
Oh yeah. That's a fuck maybe for me today.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
All right. Leaving it at that. Okay. Well, that's a wrappity wrap. And I have no idea when this will be released. So no idea what podcast will come out next. So choose your own adventure at this point, and Sarah gets to choose.
Thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, goodbye.
Shit.